You are listening to Rio Bravo Q Week Podcast, your weekly dose of knowledge brought to you by the Rio Bravo Family Medicine Residency Program in Bakersfield, California, a UCLA-affiliated program sponsored by Clinica Sierra Vista. Let us be your healthcare home. This podcast was created for educational purposes only. Visit your primary care provider for additional medical advice.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Rio Bravo Q Week. My name is Hector Arriaza, and I'm a family doctor and also an associate program director in the Family Medicine Residency Program. The name of our program is Rio Bravo, Clinica Sierra Vista, so welcome to another episode. And for those who practice family medicine, happy Family Medicine Week. So we're celebrating that this week. So we're very happy that we can offer our services to our patients and to everyone who walks into our door, because family medicine is beautiful. So, and also yesterday was Latino Physician Day. So if you identify as a Latino or Latina, so congratulations to you, and hopefully you can have a successful career ahead of you. And, you know, we're very happy to have all kinds of doctors, including Latinos, of course. So today we're going to be talking about vaccines, which is a favorite topic here in our podcast. And, you know, vaccines are great. I think they're a great invention. I think they have saved many lives. And I support vaccines always when they are safe and there's enough research for all of them. So I support those vaccines. And so far, we have been very blessed for having many vaccines in our community. So today I have a special guest, and her name is Luz. So Luz is going to be talking about vaccines today, a specific kind of vaccines, and I'm very happy that she brought this topic to our podcast. So Luz, can you please introduce yourself and let us know who you are?
Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Luz. I'm a fourth-year medical student at Ross University School of Medicine, and I'm honored and grateful for this opportunity to join Dr. Arriaza today to discuss this important topic and answer this question. It's a clinic classic. Which pneumococcal vaccine should my adult patient get and when?
Yeah. So in April 2022, even before you were here, Luz. And Luz is, by the way, she's doing a rotation with us, and it's her last rotation.
Yes, and it's been amazing so far. Thank you, Dr. Arriaza.
So it's actually almost her last week.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
congratulations. It's a big accomplishment for you, too.
Thank you.
So, and, you know, in April 2022, we had an episode. We talked about vaccines, pneumococcal vaccines before in episode 90 with Dr. Yomi. But today we're going to give an update because there are new vaccines and new guidelines. So, Luz, why pneumococcal vaccines matter?
Yes, so pneumococcal vaccines are very important because they prevent infections that are caused by the bacteria Streptococcus pneumoniae. These bacteria can cause serious infections like pneumonia, meningitis, and bacteremia. In 2017, the CDC reports that there were more than 31,000 cases of pneumococcal infections and 3,500 deaths from invasive pneumococcal disease. These numbers are significant, and so these deaths can be prevented by these vaccines.
Yeah, and as a reminder to everyone, children are vaccinated in childhood, you know, before age 5, usually with the PCV15 or PCV20. And they get the vaccines at age 2, 4, and 6 months. And a last dose around 12 to 15 months. So all children should be vaccinated to prevent pneumococcal disease in childhood. But then we have to also vaccinate adults. So why do we vaccinate adults?
So adults are vaccinated because they're at higher risk of getting pneumococcal disease. Or if they get the disease, they have worse outcomes. Vaccines are important because they protect those at-risk patients and reduce the spread of the infections among communities.
So, yeah, we have, you know, multiple vaccines now, and sometimes we get confused about which one is which and which one should we give and all that. And I'm very thankful for nurses because I feel like nurses, they are great with vaccines. But we have to get the knowledge as well because we patients ask us if they need the vaccine or not. So we frequently hear, you know, the PCV vaccines or the PPSVs. So today, Luz is going to clarify what vaccines are available for pneumococcal disease now. So
yes, so currently there are two pneumococcal vaccines that are used in practice. One is the polysaccharide vaccine, referred to as the PPSV, and the other one is a conjugate vaccine, or PCV. They both protect by targeting capsular polysaccharides from pneumococcal serotypes, most often responsible for invasive disease. In simple terms, Dr. Ariasa, these vaccines target a part of the bacteria coating and create antibodies or proteins that protect the body when the Streptococcus pneumoniae enters the body.
Yeah, and the Streptococcus is a very mean bacteria. So we have to make sure that we are protected against it. So tell us more about the PPSV vaccines.
Yes, the PPSV, or the polysaccharide vaccine, it's made from purified pieces of the pneumococcal capsule or coating. The current vaccine, the PPSV-23, or by the brand name Pneumovax, covers 23 serotypes or strains that were the leading cause of pneumococcal infections in the 1980s.
Yeah, and the introduction of these vaccines was a revolution in medicine because the cases of pneumococcal infections dropped significantly thanks to these vaccines. So now, Luz, can you tell us more about the PCV vaccines? Where are they?
So the PCV vaccine, or the conjugate vaccine, takes capsular polysaccharides from the bacterium and chemically links them to a carrier protein, which changes and strengthens the immune response. Currently, the PCVs come in four versions: PCV-13, known as Prevnar-13, PCV-15, known as Vaxneuvance, PCV-20, known as Prevnar-20, and PCV-21, known as Capvaxive.
It's a tongue twister. I don't blame you. So, but you got them all right.
Yes. Thank you. The number indicates the amount of pneumococcal capsules types covered by each vaccine. For example, the PCV-13 covers 13 serotypes, PCV-15 covers 15 serotypes, and so on. Out of all of these four options, the PCV-21 was designed around adult disease patterns and covers many serotypes currently driving invasive disease in adults. However, PCV-21 does not include serotype 4, but this serotype is covered by the PCV-20 and PCV-15 vaccines.
So I just want to recap, Luz. So we have PCV-13, 15, 20, and 21.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they have their, you know, the brand names. I think the brand names are actually more complicated than the
That's
the genetic
true.
Names. So, but yeah, so those are the options that we have, PPSV-23, and then the PCVs, which include 13, 15, 20, and 21. And out of those, you know, I feel like the 20, PCV-20 and the PCV-21, kind of like the most popular among adults, right?
Yes, because they cover more serotypes.
Okay, yeah. And so we also mentioned that kids, they get vaccinated before age 5. But then we're going to be talking about adults today. So who should get vaccinated, Luz?
So in 2024, the CDC updated the recommendations on pneumococcal vaccinations for adults. And so they recommend that all patients, or everyone that is 50 years and older, get the pneumococcal vaccine. They also recommend this vaccine for adults ages 19 to 49 with risk factors. For example, chronic lung or liver disease, heart failure, diabetes, patients with CSF leak or cochlear implants, patients with immunocompromised states like HIV, hematologic malignancies, chronic kidney disease, nephrotic syndrome, or patients with functional or anatomic asplenia. For those patients that have history of prior invasive pneumococcal disease, they recommend to still get the vaccine.
Yeah, and I think the way to learn, at least in my case, I like doing cases. So the case for today is going to be me. So I'm a 46-year-old male, you know, with asthma. And I got my vaccine. I got Prevnar 20 because I have asthma and I want to prevent any pneumococcal infection. So so what vaccines should be given for adults that have never been vaccinated against any pneumococcal vaccine? So what should we do about those patients?
Well, first of all, let me tell you, Good job, Dr. Arriaza, for getting your vaccine, knowing that you have those risk factors. And so let's say for any adults with no prior pneumococcal vaccines, there are three choices. Choice number one, give the PCV21 one time and you're done. PCV20 once and you're done. Or choice number three, PCV15 now and followed by PPSV23 later, usually about 1 year. But if the patient is immunocompromised, has CSF leak or a cochlear implant, then the follow-up vaccine is given within 8 weeks of the first vaccine.
Okay, so it seems again like PCV20 and PCV21, they seem to be the more convenient vaccine or the more convenient choices for patients. So it's like once and done.
Yes, correct. Yeah, if available, the PCV21 is a great one and done pick, like you mentioned, Dr. Arriaza, for most adults because it's tailored to current adult serotypes. However, like I previously mentioned, this vaccine does not cover serotype 4. So if your patient has high risk of an infection by this serotype, for example, patients from the Navajo Nation or patients living in the Western US or Canada, with substance use disorders or who are experiencing homelessness, you can choose the PCV20 or the PCV15 followed by the PPSV23 in case that the PCV20 is not available.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about patients who already received a vaccine before. So let's say a patient was vaccinated. So what should we do when they come to our clinic? They are going to ask us, you know, doctors, should I get vaccinated again against pneumococcal infections?
Yes. Yeah, so for those patients that already received a pneumococcal vaccine in the past, the plan is going to depend on which vaccine they receive and when. For example, if the patient received the PPSV23, then you can give the PCV21 a year later. But if they have risk for serotype 4, you can give the PCV20 or also in case that the PCV21 is not available. Now, let's say the patient received the PCV10 or PCV13 in the past. What you can do is give the PCV21 a year later.
Yeah, and those are patients who are older than 50, like you mentioned, or between 19 and 49 with risk factors, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So, okay, so I already presented the patient. So the case was me. Okay, Luz. What if the PCV vaccines are not available? What if I don't have them in my clinic?
Yeah, so if the conjugate vaccines, the PCVs are not available, you can have a discussion with your patient whether to get the PPSV23 now or wait until the PCV is available.
Okay, so let's say I'm the patient. So, Luz, can you give me just what you have? You have a Pneumovax or PPSV23, so can you give it to me now, please?
Yes. So you will receive the PPSV23 now. But remember, Dr. Arriaza, a year later, you still have to receive a PCV vaccine. And no more vaccines are going to be needed for you after that.
So I have to come twice. Yeah?
Yes. Okay. But a year later. So you have some time.
Okay. All right. So let's ask you this question, Luz. Is it safe to administer the pneumococcal vaccine with other vaccines?
It's totally fine to co-administer this vaccine with other non-pneumococcal vaccines. Of course, as long as you follow the standard practices of administration, like using different syringes and different sites. Actually, data supports same-day administration of PPSV23 and influenza and PCV20 with influenza or COVID-19 vaccines.
Okay, so some patients are very hesitant to receive vaccines. I frequently get these patients saying, oh, but I have a trip this weekend or I have a party this weekend. So I'm afraid of the side effects. So let's talk about the side effects and the contraindications to these vaccines. So what are they?
Yeah, so some of the common side effects are local reactions on the injection site. For example, some patients might experience pain, swelling, redness of the area. Some people might protect their arm for a couple of days because of the pain. But these symptoms or these side effects usually resolve in 3 to 4 days. And if your patient does happen to experience these symptoms, you can advise them to use NSAIDs and more compresses to alleviate those symptoms. A few patients may also experience systemic symptoms like fatigue, headache, myalgias, joint pain, and chills. Few patients might experience fever greater than 38 degrees, but it's very uncommon. And these symptoms are usually mild and self-limited. And the contraindications for this vaccine is for those patients that have history of severe allergy, like anaphylaxis, to a pneumococcal vaccine or its components.
Okay, so it seems like the symptoms are very tolerable for most patients. And, you know, I usually tell them, you know, it's going to be maybe a little soreness in your arm, but it's not a big deal. So after my vaccine, after I got the Prevnar 20, I only got a little bit of pain, but it's not a big deal. So patients are usually okay. So Luz, I think it's been a great topic. So I hope everybody who is listening to this podcast, you know, can learn about these vaccines, can recommend them, and they can give them to their patients. So, but can you please give us a summary to wrap up this episode?
Of course, Dr. Ariasa. So the bottom line of this is that if a patient is 50 years or younger with the specific risk factors, they likely need one conjugate dose, like PCV21 or PCV20, and they're done. Or you can also use the PCV15 followed by the PPSV23 when needed. And remember the serotype 4 caveat.
Yeah, and it's been great. So that's it for today's episode of Rio Bravo Q Week. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend, with a colleague, or a medical student who may need to know more about pneumococcal vaccines in adults. So I'm Dr. Ariasa, signing off.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Ariasa. I hope this topic was helpful. Until next time, keep learning and stay vaccinated.
Even without trying, every night you go to bed a little wiser. Thanks for listening to Rio Bravo Q Week podcast. We want to hear from you. Send us an email at riobravoqweek@clinicasierravista.org or visit our website, riobravofmrp.org/qweek. See you next week.